I would like to welcome you all to this service as I humble myself to just thank the leadership for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God that is coming to us this morning. I believe we shall all be blessed together by what we are about to hear and receive. Today is the Lord's Supper. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And what we'll be talking about will be around this. But please, I want you, before I go into the Word, I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to prepare yourself so that you hear what God has to say to you today about this stuff right in front of us. But before I move on, I want to read something for you. Everybody, just hold your Bible as I read this, because I'm going to ask you to say something about or after this one. I'm reading a quote from someone's book, and do you hear this, gentleman, as we read and as we reach the end. The subtitle of this particular extract that I'm reading to you is, "Not a good luck charm. Not a good luck charm." Former heavyweight a boxing champion writes in his book, "God in My Corner." That's the title of his book. In 1974, before I went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave me a Bible to take along on my trip. He said, "George, keep this with you for good luck." It's amazing what goes on in the camps of these athletes sometimes as they try to win. I believe that the Bible was just a shepherd's handbook, probably because the only verse I knew was, "The Lord is my shepherd." But I was always looking for luck. So I carried that Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms. So now I added the lucky Bible to my collection of superstitious items. After I lost the fight, everybody said, "Uh-oh." After I lost the fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I thought the Bible didn't help me win. So why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply from owning it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe what it says. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm. George Foreman, "God in My Corner," Nashville, Thomas Nelson, 2007, page 91. Is anybody familiar with this gentleman? Hold your Bible. Turn to your neighbor. Say, "This is my roadmap. It's not a charm book. So I'll read it with understanding." Hallelujah. So let's read the Bible. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll read up to sometime up to verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible reads, I'll have a lot of scriptures to give out. If you've got a pen and your bulletin, just make sure that you keep things ready, because some of the scriptures I won't read. I'll just give them out. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it. Everybody says he broke it. And said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant. And everybody said, new covenant in my blood. And he says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We'll stop there. Some years back in my early Christian life, I did a lot of prayer. I prayed a lot in my early Christian life. I spent a lot of time with the Lord. And during those days, I saw a lot of things. The Lord would show me a lot of things. Some of them I'll be praying like this. Maybe I'm walking and suddenly I'll see things. Or I would be just sleeping. I would see things. Some of those I wrote them. And I came to discover, 5 years down the line, some of those things could happen exactly the way I saw them in either a dream or a trance. Some of them came to happen 10 years later in my life. I saw them. Even up to today, I still see some of the things I saw years back in my Christian life. I see them happening exactly the same way the Lord revealed them to me those years back. I still see them today. Now, there was this day when I was asleep. I was sleeping. And then I had a dream. We all have dreams here. I had a dream. And so in this dream, I found myself in a place like this one, in an assembly like this one, with people, a lot of people seated and things like that. We're doing things, praying, worshiping and praising God and doing all sorts of things. We're in an assembly like this. Mind you, I'm in a dream. I'm seeing all that. How many people have dreamt that in the church? Maybe even preaching. So I was in this dream. And suddenly, in front of me came a screen like this one. Just came, I'm praying. And I'm in a dream. And a thing like this one comes, and right in front of me. And suddenly, I found myself completely covered and excluded from the rest. I was not aware of anyone or anything next to me. It's like you are here or you are outside. Birds are making noise and everything, vehicles are passing, but you are covered in such a way that even if a vehicle is passing 10 meters away from you, you don't even hear it. So I found myself in that situation and the screen is in front of me. And now I heard a voice saying, watch. Now suddenly I started watching. You know when you're in a cinema hall or something like that, you're watching and that thing comes. And that thing opened up, I started watching. I'm watching. Who do I see? I see Jesus Christ in that thing. With the disciples and everything. And it's somehow, someone was telling me, that one is so-and-so, that one is so-and-so, that one is so-and-so, and this is Jesus Christ. I saw Jesus Christ. And now he's teaching, he's walking. And suddenly, I started going up to the point when he was in the garden of Gethsemane and suddenly praying with the disciples and he was arrested from there. I saw Jesus Christ being laid, being taken to the high priest, to the governor, to the elders. I saw all that, him being laid, and I'm watching that on that big screen. I'm watching up to the point Jesus Christ started suffering for us. He started suffering. They started beating him. They started doing all sorts of things to him. They beat him in such a way that my eyes could no longer look at what was happening. I got so scared. I got so terrified. And I got so, oh my goodness, I could not see what I was seeing there. When was a person eventually just became mass of flesh? I'm watching. And suddenly I broke down. I started crying loudly in a dream.
I was a dream in a dream. I'm crying loudly, uncontrollably because of what has happened. But I'm saying, Jesus, there is no need of you going through all that. Crying. Suddenly, whoop, that thing was taken away from me. And immediately I woke up. I woke up crying. And I got up, I sat on my bed. I continued crying, not weeping, not sobbing, crying. If a person was passing outside, they would hear a person crying in their room. That was me. And suddenly a voice came. It said, stop crying. Then I'm saying, that can't be serious. I stopped crying after seeing what I've seen being done to a person? No way. And the voice said, listen, that was your place. Then at that point, I knew I needed to stop crying to hear more. That to be my place? What this guy was going through to be my place? I need to listen further. Stop crying. That was your place. And then the voice went on to say, that what you saw him going through is what you deserved. Now, you don't need to cry. You need to praise and thank him for taking up your place. Because he took that, you will never go through that. Guess what I did? I got out of my bed. I went down, wiped the tears from my face, I knelt down and I worshipped God. Because if what I saw was for me to go through, I can't believe that. Coming back to the story we have just read, what we have read here is the situation I've just described here. The Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ was having this, traditionally this was the feast called Passover. It was supposed to be a Passover meal, Passover supper. And so the Jews celebrated this every year. And so now it was time to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus was with his disciples and said, look for a place where we can celebrate this Passover. And they found the place. And that's where they went. And now he started performing. He got bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples. Actually, the New Living Translation said, he broke it into pieces. Exactly what I saw in the illustration I've just given you. Into pieces. So he gave it to his disciples. I want you to listen very carefully. I'm linking this to the healing of the physical body. Some of you here, a miracle will take place because of this. In Jesus' name. I want you to hear very, very carefully. Maybe you're like me, I've been taking this thing for years. But today I want you to make a difference in your life. Because what I'm about to talk is directly for you. And so he gave. They took. And he says something here. He says, do this as often as you can to remember me. The question is, what did Jesus want his people to remember about that? Wasn't it just like any other Passover? Wasn't it just like a meal they were taking? Was this something new? But what did he want the people to remember? And this is what I want you to know, so that from today on you will remember in his name. Do this in remembrance of me. The word remember is very important in the word of God. In the word of God, should your mind go to sleep, you are in trouble. In the word of God, should your mind become blurred or blunt, you're in trouble. Our minds are supposed to remember because he himself remembers.
Never you go to sleep. Never you make your mind go to sleep about the word of God. You remember? The criminal, those two criminals that were hung with Jesus Christ, one this side, the other one side. One said, Lord, the first one mocked Jesus Christ, but the second one said, Lord, remember me. Instantly, he was forgiven. He went to heaven. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8:18, the Bible says, remember your God who gives you the power to create wealth. Remember. Psalms 105, verse 8, says God remembers his covenant from everlasting to everlasting. So, if you fail to remember, you are in trouble, because promises of God work when we remember them. Scriptures work when we remember them. Because your mouth can only speak what is stored in here. If there is no word of God here, that's what the mouth is going to utter. There is a direct link between the heart and the mouth. And so God, take this thing in you and remember. We need to remember the things of God. We need to remember the promises of God. We need to remember the power of God. We need to remember the will of God. We need to remember whatsoever. Whenever God says remember, do not forget. When he gave this Passover to the children of Israel, he says you will remember by celebrating every year. Now let me give you the background before we go to this. What is the background of this thing we're talking about? We're talking about the Passover. Let me give you the background. The background about this is this. Some years back, you all remember, Joseph was sold by his brothers. And he ended up finding himself in Egypt. When he went to Egypt, at one time he was arrested for things sins he never committed, for charges that were not there, and he was arrested. All these things, you know about them. We learned them from primary school and things like that. Joseph was taken in Egypt. But there came a time. There came a time. Hallelujah. There came a time when Egypt needed his wisdom. When Egypt needed a man like Joseph. Joseph told the ruler, the authority of Egypt about the looming hunger. He said, this country is going to be in trouble in terms of hunger. And so God gave Joseph the first idea to establish a food reserve system. It started with Joseph. We have one in Zambia. And so, the authority in Egypt look at him and say, you know what? We've never seen a man like this one, with wisdom like this one. We can do so much things. And it's like God is communicating with this guy. Guess what? He was raised and became prime minister of that country. And for sure, he spearheaded that food reserve system. And guess what? After years, for sure, that drought came. And there was drought, and there was famine in the whole of the region. But because the Egypt had that food reserve instituted by the man of God who received the wisdom from God, they had a lot of food. And so now the surrounding regions depended on the food that they had stored. Hallelujah. The plan of God. And now guess what? The brothers who sold him, how many people know that the hunger can take you even in the hand of your enemy? If you want to catch a person that has been running away from you, just go to an eating place. They owe you money, they don't want to pay. Just go to an eating place. One day you meet face to face. And so they went to buy food. But guess what? Guess what happened? They found the very brother they sought in Egypt. To cut the long story short, because you know it already, before they knew it, they migrated to Egypt. I mean, who wouldn't? Your own brother is now prime minister and the head of food reserve. And where you are, there is drought, there is hunger. Who wouldn't? I would rather go near. So that it just comes from the storeroom to the port. Than staying miles and miles, and then you walk, you carry it on your head. And so they move. Eventually the whole family moved, and they went to stay in Egypt. And how many people know that? The blessing of the Lord will follow you even in a foreign land. And so they started multiplying. Now, the kings were coming and go in Egypt. And later on, some of the kings that were coming into power, oh, they discovered that the Jews were multiplying very fast. And how many people know that Jews are very intelligent people? Jews are very successful people. They are blessed people. You put a Jew here, you see what will happen to your land. Some years back, I don't know whether it is still there now, half of Lusaka was owned by a gentleman, a Jew. You go on Cairo Road, hey, this is Cairo Road. No, it was owned by a Jew. That's how they are. They are blessed people wherever they are, just as you are blessed wherever you are, if you are a child of God. And so now the leadership said, no. We're not going to succeed. With these guys like this, they will eventually take over. We're not going to say, now let's curb them. Let's arrest their growth, their influence. And now they started the thing. They colonized them. They became like slaves. And they started killing the boys and something like that, so that we only remain with the women. At least it will be easier to deal with issues like that. Because guys will rise against you with guns. And so, before they knew it, they were in bondage. They were in captivity. How many people know that when you are in bondage, when you are in captivity, your will does not matter. It is the will of the master that matters. You become a nobody. You lose your identity. That's why do not ever allow anyone to colonize you. The Mensah Otterbill says this. He says, when you allow somebody else to put you in bondage, they disturb your wiring system. Never you allow anybody to disturb your wiring system. And so now, they started working for the Egyptians. You work for me. And now they were making blocks, they were doing all these things. They were really in for it. God looked at it and said, no way. There is no way I can allow my children to live in the bondage, under bondage of these Egyptians. I have to get them out. How many people know that God hates bondage? God does not like any one of us to be in bondage. Now, you know that sickness can put you in bondage. You know that worry can put you in bondage. You know that suffering can put you in bondage. And you know what? God doesn't like bondage. God likes freedom. Because the Bible says it was for freedom that Jesus set us free. Amen. God, the God of freedom, said, I'm going to set my people free. And that's how he came and raised Moses as a leader. I'm giving you the background to what I'm about to say. And God raised a leader in Moses and said, go to Pharaoh and tell him to release my people, because I do not want my people to live in bondage in Egypt. And you know, the Pharaohs were too proud. But at that time, they were already benefiting a lot from the work, the labor of these Jews. And the Pharaohs were arrogant. They say, we're not going to let these people go. Just who are you to tell us like that? God sent Moses again. Go there, tell him. You remember the story very well. All that thing failed. How many people know that the plan of God can only be delayed? It will never be stopped. And God told the Pharaoh that you will know that I am the Lord. Beside me there is none. And now he came up with a plan. And this plan is called Passover. God told Moses, he said, you go gather all the elders of Israel, bring them together, and give them this instruction. Let each family choose a spotless lamb or a goat, and let them bring them things to their families, and slaughter them. And once they slaughter them, let them put, I'm going to tell you the day, they will slaughter these animals, and they're going to take the blood and apply them on the doorpost. So they will apply on the bar which is on top, and then they will apply on the left, right side, and on the left side. Just do that. Because I'm sending an angel to come and destroy and kill the firstborn children. And whichever house will not be covered by blood, the blood of the animal, then the firstborn in that house is going to be killed. And Moses did just that. And when they did that, the angel came and killed all the firstborn children in Egypt whose household was not covered by the blood. And so the angel becoming, he reaches here, oh, there's a blood. He pass over. And then, this one doesn't have the firstborn. So there was mass funeral in Egypt. It's like, the people say, you send the phone call to your brother, my firstborn son is dead. And your brother says, so it's mine. So it was like that. There's no one to attend the funeral of the other person because they were all crying. Oh, he's the Lord. Beside him, there's nobody. Our God is a good God. He's a big God. And guess what? The Pharaohs knew that God is God. They called Moses and said, no, Moses, tapapata. Please, we are sorry. Can you take all these children of Israel? Please take them away. Not only that. The good news is this. You know what? Pharaoh says, not only do they walk away from Egypt, but please let them get anything their hand can touch. Gold, silver, whatever. Let them get. How many people know that when God is delivering you, he doesn't send you empty-handed? Hallelujah. He will never send you empty-handed. You go with your hands full. Some of them, their hands will be too full to carry, and then you just begin to, just like that. Hallelujah. That's our good God. He will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When he delivers you, he doesn't just deliver you from malaria. He delivers you from cancer too. Moses said, I told you, don't mess up with God. He's a big God. He's greater. Greater in power. Greater in battle. Greater in Zion. King of all the earth is our God. That's the God I believe in. Oh, glory be to God. I'm so confident. I'm so excited. I'm so free. I feel secure when I know I'm in him. He's my God. He's my Father. And so they left. And now God told them. And now when they left Egypt, they had this feast called the Feast of Passover. And where they would sit and celebrate for a number of days. And this is what we're talking about. That's where this Passover thing comes from. And now God says, you know what, you guys? Where you're going, never you forget to do this. Do this in remembrance of me. For years, so that you don't forget the things that I have done for you. When your children and your children's children come to ask you, they say, hey, dad or grandfather, why do you celebrate this? And you tell them what God did for us. This is where this thing is coming from. Passover. Everybody say Passover. But, and so the children of Israel celebrated this Passover. Under every king that came into power. They had the original Passover at Exodus. The one that you find in Exodus chapter 12. That was the original Passover. Secondly, they had another Passover after Exodus in setting up the tabernacle. You find this is Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. And then they had another Passover at the end of the wilderness journey under the new generation with Joshua. As the leader, you find this in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 10. Oh, hallelujah! They had another Passover In the second month, under godly king Hezekiah, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and also Numbers chapter 9, verse 6 to 14. They had another Passover under godly king Josiah. This you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 21, and also 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 18. They had another Passover restored. The Passover restored and kept under Ezra after 70 years of Babylonian captivity. You find this in Ezra 6:19. And then there was a Passover seen in a vision by Ezekiel's temple. And you find this in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 45, verse 21. Now, the one we are reading about, we've just read about in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. This was the mother of all Passovers. This was the Passover number 8. Every other Passover was pointing out to something. It was pointing out to the future. But this particular one, the hour had come. In the previous Passover, they had the lamb, the Passover lamb, that was killed, and the blood was shed on the thing. But this particular one here, we have the true Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Hallelujah. This is the King, the true lamb. These other animals were a shadow of what is about to happen. Now let me do this. Let me, oh my goodness. Who is he? Who is this one? Those who know this one? Oh? My wife. Who is this one? Who is this one, guys? Especially these two. Who is this one? My wife. Okay. So, let me go this side. So. Yeah, this is no her. Who is this one? Who is this one? It's my wife. Now, let me tell you. Honey, can you stand up there? That is my wife. This is the image of that one. The difference between this and that, I can go with this one anywhere, put it in my office, look at it. This guy will not talk to me. This guy will never keep me company. This guy will never comfort me. When I've got a headache, I need this one here. This one is a shadow of this person here. So I need this one more than I need this one. So, hallelujah. You need the real lamb and not the shadow. Are you with me? Jesus Christ saying, remember this. Do not forget. Remember the significance. Remember the importance. Remember the benefit of this. Hallelujah. I'm getting charged up. Oh, my goodness. You know, our God is a God of liberty. He wants his people to be free. God wants you to be free from bondage. He wants you to be free from sickness. He wants you to be free from diseases. He's a God of liberty. So it's for freedom that Jesus Christ set us free. The Bible says, you know, when we are at liberty, we can sing and rejoice. We can shout. We can celebrate. We can prosper. We can succeed in what we're doing. But when we are bound, our right doesn't even exist. And God wants you to be free today. Free from oppression. Free from worries. As you take this stuff today, he says, remember. Each time you do this, remember the purpose for this. The purpose for this, the Jews had the Passover because it was a deliverance. To them, the significance of that Passover was the deliverance. Not only was it the deliverance, it was the deliverance from the hand of the land of Egypt, which is the land of bondage, and to the promised land, and to liberty. And apart from that, this coming out of Egypt was for the establishment of Israel as a nation. And apart from that, it was the beginning of their calendar. God was giving them the beginning of their calendar. May this, as you partake today, be the beginning of your calendar. May it be the beginning of you coming out of the bondage. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus Christ, remember this. So the purpose was to remember what the Lord had done. This particular Passover we've read in Philippians. This is the mother of all the Passover. Because the true Passover lamb presented himself. The Bible says, please read with me. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 6. Hallelujah. The Bible reads there, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Just the last part of that verse. Apostle Paul described Christ as the Passover lamb that has been sacrificed for us. If the old purpose for Passover was deliverance, now the true Passover of the Lord Jesus Christ is to set us free, is to remove the captivity, to remove us from captivity. Now, this deliverance from captivity, they had a feast of this atonement. Now, on the atonement day, the Jews had two goats or two lambs, spotless. They say, the Lord said, you prepare two animals that are clean and bring them before me. Now, they kept these animals for two reasons. One was what was called the scapegoat or sin offering. And then the other one was the lamb for Jehovah God. Now, the lamb for sin offering or scapegoat was the one that was to carry the sin of everybody. And they did this by doing some rituals and then pray and lay hands on that animal. That means it carried the sin of everybody. And then they released that animal. Some people that were fit and clean took that animal in the wilderness and got to release it there so that it goes away with the sin of the people. And the second lamb, which was the second animal, which was called the lamb for Jehovah, or the sin offering. This they got. When they got this one, they killed it. They killed it. And when they killed it, they took the blood and gave it to the high priest. This is the blood the high priest took into the Holy of Holies to go and sprinkle at the mercy seat. This one was to remove the sin of the people and the sin of the priests. And so he used the thing to go and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, the blood of this sin offering. Now what happened? Two things here. The blood was sprinkled. It went with the priest in the Holy of Holies. And then the flesh of this animal that was slain, the Bible said God ordered not to be thrown. The meat should not be thrown. What happened? God says you shall eat the meat of that animal, roasted. It shouldn't even pass in water, but you shall roast it and eat it and finish it. If there is anything that, he said you eat even the head, you eat it. Even the legs, those things, you eat them. If whatever remains, he says, never you throw it away, you burn it. That's how holy that thing is, because when you leave it, unclean hands are going to touch it. And so that's what they did. I want to let you know that the Bible says the children of Israel, when they ate that thing, guess what? They got healed. When they went into that wilderness, none of them got sick. To an extent that even the sandals they wore, they never wore out. The clothes they wore never got torn. There was no pep. There was no woo-wip in the wilderness where they bought things. There was no UTH. Oh, there was no mobile hospital where they could get drugs to kill them, to cure them. Nothing. But none of them got sick in the wilderness. None of them. Because they ate this stuff. Hallelujah. Now, the blood that was shed was significant, or was evidence that death had taken place. And the blood that was sprinkled was evidence for application, that the blood had been applied in the mercy seat. Now, of course, the meat had to be eaten. Now here, the true lamb shows up. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when they ate that animal which they roasted, they ate it with unleavened bread. And Jesus Christ shows up and says, you know what? This bread is my body that will be broken for you. And this cup, the wine. And some people say, no, he gave his disciples wine so we can go to bar and drink wine. I'm telling you, he was not drinking wine. That was a symbol of his blood. He said, this is my blood. Take it. Isn't it interesting that down these verses, he says, no wonder some of you are sick and even have fallen asleep when you do it without the discernment of his body? When you don't judge yourself, you're going to die. Do you think it's a coincidence? He's talking about the Passover of himself. And he goes down there and says, no wonder some of you have become sick and have died. Now let me tell you something here. The benefit of the blood, of the wine of Jesus Christ. One, we are justified in the blood. Romans 5:9. Two, we are redeemed in the blood. Ephesians 1:7. Three, we are reconciled in the blood. Colossians 1:14-20. Washed, sin-free. Hebrews 9:22. We are sanctified in the blood. Hebrews 13:20. We are now within the veil. We can enter. Hebrews 10:4. Above all, we've been made overcomers in Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And so there is this benefit in the blood. And Jesus Christ said, do not forget these benefits. These are the benefits for you. Those of you that are in Christ, this is what has happened for you. What about the body? Do not throw it away. Eat and remember. What do you remember about the body? These are the benefits. Our brokenness has been mended because he was broken. You remember what I saw in the dream? He was broken so that you and I could be mended. His body was, it carried sickness and disease. Prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, saw this way before the birth of Jesus Christ. He saw it. And that's why he says, he was wounded for our transgression and was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that was laid on him, the punishment, it actually says, the chastisement that was on us, did what, please? The chastisement that was, has brought us peace. The chastisement, the punishment that was laid on him has brought us peace. And now it says, by his stripes. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm healed. Brokenness is never my part. Oh, some people, I hear them saying, one time I went to pray for somebody, and then the owners, the relatives say, no, he's old. But he's too old. You know, I think he's dying, he's too old. I say, where in the Bible did it say, because a person is sick, because a person is about to die, they have to suffer sickness? Where? Sickness is not a means of taking you from earth. Haven't you heard, men of God? I'm preaching, he's preaching the way I'm preaching. Suddenly he sits down here and he's gone. Haven't you heard things like that? Who said you have to be to suffer in hospital? Drips and all the money that should have been left for your children goes into medicine, then you die. They say, yeah. Who said that? Tell me where. God would not have instituted sickness as the means of taking you from here, because a death of a believer is a relocation. Amen. If you've been going through it, the Bible calls it the oppression of the devil. And one of the reasons Jesus Christ came here is to undo the work of the devil, including destroying sickness and diseases in his body. And when he shed the blood, guess what? The chief cause of sickness and disease and death is sin. And Jesus came and dealt with sin. If he dealt with the root, guess what happened to the fruit? Amen. That is him. Deal with the root, the whole thing will dry up. Including the fruits, they will rot. He has dealt with the chief root cause of sickness and disease and death. Never you allow to die in... die when your time comes. At your funeral, we even sing praise. Hallelujah. I know this death, this sickness is taking me to death. I know my grandma, I know my mother is just old. You know what? I've seen old women and old men that have lived, and they've lived without sickness. And when it comes to that, they just close their eyes, they are gone. Oh no, he was not even sick. She was, hey, did you want her to suffer? Hey, don't wish me that. I want to go be with the Lord. Never entertain those thoughts, are not from God. Remember the benefits. Let me tell you, I'm winding up now. Oh, glory be to God. It's getting excited here. God hates sickness. No wonder. He said he sent his word and healed their diseases. God hates sickness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing only one person among the sick. Healing who? Because the Spirit of God and their power was with him. If he entertained it because it's a means of God taking people away from earth, he was not going to go and cure people like that. That would have been contradicting himself and contradicting the word of the Father. Oh no, Pastor, you don't know, I've had this disease for a long time. Let me tell you, my brother. Let me tell you, my sister. You have suffered with this for years and something like that. Let me give you this simple illustration. Glory be to God. This one isn't too big. If I take this, this is a pen. This is quite heavy. And then I take a dry leaf here. I take it from here. A dry leaf. I hold them here at the same height and drop them. What happens? Chances are that this one will land first before the leaf, the dry leaf, isn't it? But you know what? There is force of gravity that is pulling both of them here. The fact that this one goes first and lands there. And the other one goes slower, but eventually it will land. Because the force of gravity exists. You're not going to say, this one is still lingering here, it is going like this, it's not going to land. No, the pull of gravity is there. So it can pull you fast, or it can pull you slowly, or it can pull you moderately. Eventually you land there. Why? Because it is there. Now, if it is going like this, you're not going to say, no, it doesn't exist. It does exist. If your healing has been slow, just say, you know what? It is coming. Those of you that have been healed miraculously, my wife with permission, I'm called to UTH to go and sign for an operation because there's an acute situation here. And I'm going there, and the Holy Spirit says, stop it, you're not going to sign. And I go to my office, and I'm going to get money so that I go to the hospital. But I go there, and the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to sign. So what do I do now? Like a mad person, I say, Lord, and I say, I cancel that operation in the name of Jesus. Pastor Newberry was here a couple of weeks ago. He would have bear witness. He bore witness. I think at one time he gave that illustration. And I called him on the phone. I said, Pastor Newberry, I'm due to go and sign for an operation for my wife, but the Holy Spirit has just told me I'm not going to sign it. But they're saying she will die the next 24 hours if I don't sign the operation. But the Holy Spirit says she's not going to die. I'm not going to sign for that operation. I'm therefore not going there. Can you stand with me? God has given me a scripture. And pray together. And Pastor Newberry said, don't hang up. Let's pray. We prayed for 30 minutes. By the time we said amen, I received the phone call from UTH. I said, there's no need of this operation because the current scan has shown that there's nothing to operate for. Amen. She's here. Amen. We are not talking about things that we hear, stories that we concoct. We are talking about real power of God. Some of you, you know, they leave and they this. You know, sometimes what causes the delay in landing is because the way this thing is made and the way this thing is made, they're different. One of them is able to cut through the air resistance here and fall quickly. The other one here, because of the nature of its thing, it will take a little bit of time, it will go there. But eventually, now some of you, you've got external circumstances that are causing you not to receive from God, but eventually you'll receive. Some of you, there is a bit of unbelief, but you will receive. Some of you, it's a bit of doubt, you receive. Some of you, even as I'm speaking here, you are doubting what I'm talking about, but that will be your problem. I'm talking to somebody here. Some of you, it's just because you believe in a vessel than in the owner of the vessel. You were prayed for by a very powerful man who is believed to be a healer. And now because you never got it, you say, I was prayed by so-and-so. You've got names. I never got healed. I've even traveled. I've even flown. And nothing has happened. What is he talking about? I want to tell you, who is greater between the person that prayed for you and the owner of the person that prayed for you? The true Lamb of the living God. The King of all kings. The Messiah, whose blood is a washed sinner, whose blood reconciles us, whose blood will cleanse you for the rest of your life, whose bread will make you not to hunger again. Who can compare with this King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the healer of sickness and diseases, the remover of sin? Oh, the judge, the great judge, who sits on the white throne, who's going to judge the great and the small. Before him, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Who is greater? Our God is greater. They sang a song. Our God is the healer. Nothing is impossible with him. Oh, me.
Hold my hand.
please, as you take, you receive that emblem, just keep it. Keep it in your hands. We're going to take it together. But as you receive that stuff, I'm not going to ask to pray for anybody today. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. I'm incompetent. I'm too small. I don't want you to go out and say, Pastor William put a hand on me. Who is Pastor William, by the way? But I want you to look to the healer, the great King, His Majesty, Jesus, the Lamb of the living God, takes away the sin of the world. If the people in the Old Testament who partook this, they received their healing, and they used the shadow of the Lamb, how much more as we are receiving the real, the true Lamb of the living God. Some of you are sick already. You don't know it even worse. You don't know what is now in your body that is working to eat you up and shorten your life. Some of you already know it. Doctors have told you about it. Some of you, been there for a while. Some of you is new. But I want you to look to the great healer. As you take this emblem today, I want you to see the benefits of it. I want you to move from the tradition way. We've been taking these things. We just take it. No, because we've been taking it for years. That's what the children of Israel did. They just remained in the ritual. Say, you know what? I want you to change your belief system. It's no longer a ritual. The Lamb of God is here. That was the shadow pointing to my coming. Now I'm here. My body will be torn and broken into pieces for you so that you become mended. And my blood will be shed for you so that you become clean. And I will destroy the causer of sickness and disease, and you'll be healed. Isaiah saw it. Mass healing. People ate this. As you partake of this, I want you to know. I want you to remember the meaning of it. I want you to know the significance of it. In fact, some of you, God wants to use you to be a blessing out there. I don't know, I didn't do this in the first service. I should have asked you to sit. It's okay. Let's close our eyes. Some of you have been taught big things in your life. You're wondering whether the year is coming to an end or the next. Those, only those, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Put those hands. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Every eye closed. These are defining moments. Thank you. I want you to see Jesus Christ standing next to you. I want you to see the picture that I saw as you hold that thing in your hand. I want you to see the picture that I saw. Jesus taking the sin of the world and carrying all the pain and carrying all that cancer symptom. Whatever you've been told, I want you to see Jesus Christ and then compare the size of what you've been told and the greatness of the God who's speaking this way. He says, my word will never return to me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Cancer, I command you out. Whose report shall we believe? The Lord said, you are healed from the crown of your head to the toes of your feet in Jesus.
Be free. Be loose. Woman. God, the Father of mercy,
Of prayer. And after supper had ended, the Bible says he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant given in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you. This morning we hold in our hands a symbol of the blood of Jesus. Symbol of the blood that has brought us redemption and forgiveness. This morning we hold in our hands a symbol of the blood that speaks better things than the blood of sprinkling. This morning we hold in our hands a symbol of the blood that speaks of our future, a blood that speaks of hope and of destiny, a blood that speaks new things, a blood that speaks forgiveness. Oh, we can declare boldly in this place, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who are led by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This morning we hold in our hands hope. Father God, we thank you. We hold in our hands the symbol of the love that you have for us. So such great love that you laid down your life for us. Such great love that your blood was shed for us. This morning we can remember, Father God, oh how you loved us. Oh how you forgave us. Oh how you lifted us up. And our names are written in the book of life. Oh how you lifted us up in heavenly places. in Christ Jesus. There is a hope for somebody in this place. There is hope and there is a future because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that saves. The blood of Jesus that delivers. The blood of Jesus that gives hope. The blood of Jesus that shows us a better and a higher way. We thank you, Father, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace because that blood has cleansed us. We can come boldly before your throne of grace and there obtain mercy and receive grace to help us in our times of need. We've not been left as orphans. We've not been left alone. We have a God. We have a hope and we have a future. Father, we thank you that this cup is a symbol of the love you have for us, an undying love, an undying love. Lord, we give you praise. In the Old Testament, Lord, they look back to the Passover of old. But today, Father God, we look forward, oh God, to what Jesus did for us, Father God, on the cross. Because of that, now we can look forward. We can look forward to a future with you. We can look forward, oh God, to a future with you. Father, thank you. Thank you, oh God, that you're not only here today, but you're also in our future. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. We receive this cup with confidence, knowing full too well that it's a demonstration of your love. Go ahead and receive that demonstration of God's love.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want you to praise God in your own language. Use the language that you are fluent. Just praise Him for a minute. Hallelujah. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you for doing the great things. Oh, may we never forget about your goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us for the days of our lives. Ah, we shall never forget your goodness, Father. Your steadfast love that never ceases, but it gets renewed every morning in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And now this was for the family, the body of Jesus Christ. Some of you, while our eyes are closed, please, by the way, on your way out, you drop that small cup in the basket. There is a bucket by the door. But before we do that, while you're in this mood, I want to ask, there's someone here saying, you know what, Pastor? I haven't even given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know Him. So what you're talking about, the benefits, the blessings, you're talking about, I'm far away from the covenant. Pastor, today I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to have my life, my sin washed away. But today I want to give my life to the Lord. Just where you are, I want to just you to raise your hand quickly. I want to see you where you are. Just raise your hand. So I want to receive Christ. Thank you, sir. Who will join this one? Where? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Who else will join this? Please raise your hand real high. I want to see your hands. Where? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Thank you, sir. Seen that hand. Thank you for those two hands there. Thank you, sir. You can put that hand down. Thank you. Who joined these? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Please put your hand down here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll do something. Those of you, while you are here, those that haven't raised your hand, no, don't. Okay, we'll cheer them a bit as they come to the front. But I just want you to focus on the Lord. God is doing work in some of you here. Now, I would like to ask those of you that raise your hand, please, if you have a cell phone or a bag you came with, just carry it with you. Walk and meet with me to the front. We'll pray together here. While the rest of you, let's cheer them as they come. But go back in your mood and just continue to praise the Lord. Please come and meet me in front here. Just walk over here. I want to meet with you here. Praise team, please go ahead and just. Thank you, sir. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, young man. Thank you, sir. felt like coming or raising a hand, but you hesitated a bit, can I give you 30 seconds to walk through here? If you didn't raise your hand, but now you feel like you need to come here, please I give you 30 seconds just to walk here. You're so important in the eyes of God. We're going to give you 30 minutes. Where are you? You felt like you needed to come, but if you now need to come, where are you? Can you please walk over here and be part of this great team here? Where are you? You're still resisting? Okay. The church. I would like to ask the church. I just want everybody to close eyes. Just close your eyes, please. The Holy Spirit is doing work in our lives here. I want you people that are in front, I want you to repeat the following words. Just repeat them after me. Raise one of your hands, the right hand up. Just raise it. That's a form of surrender. Thank you. Let me hold it for you, my brother. Thank you. I will hold this too. Just raise one hand. Close your eyes. And repeat those words after me. Father God, I come to you just as I am. I realize I am a sinner. And I also realize that the sin that I carry is the main cause of sickness, diseases. It is the main cause of my separation with my Father. But today, I stand before you. I confess my sin to you. And now I ask for your forgiveness. Father, forgive me for all the sins I've committed. Accept me as your child. I turn my back to the enemy. And I now follow you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for accepting me the way I was. Thank you for making me a child. Thank you for breaking the curse that was on my life. And I thank you for making me free. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these men and women that have given their lives to you.